tuned to Keldabe Talk Radio, the official podcast of the Mandalorian Mercs. We're a costume organization dedicated to charity efforts around the globe, attending events in Mandalorian armor we've built by hand. Here on the show, we'll keep you up to date with the latest fan community news. Visit our website at www.mandalorianmercs.com.
Hello and welcome to this month's edition of Keldabe Talk Radio. I am your host, Crow, and with me on this episode is Thaxos.
Hello there.
Pinocchio.
How you doing?
Frost.
Hello.
And Ark.
Hey.
So this is, we'll pretty much make this our holiday episode. Hopefully you get this released at around a holiday time when everybody's being super festive and having a lot of fun time with your respective holiday of choice. So in the spirit of holiday giving, we're just going to pretty much do the normal podcast like we always do.
Happy Life Day.
Indeed. I wasn't going to name specific holidays, but Life Day.
Well, I think Santa's coming. I hear Santa. And we have with us our special guest, Santa, as you can hear by the
jingle. I thought I was the special guest.
And Chewbacca.
When is... You all...
Yeah, we didn't think we were going to be able to book Santa.
Almost.
Yes, Frost's, yeah. Well, Frost's secret identity has been revealed. He is Santa.
For, like, 10 years now. 11 years.
When is Life Day? Is it, like... It's January 22nd, right? No. No, that's a different Life Day.
That's like a real life day.
Isn't it?
I don't remember. I feel like it's already gone by. Oh, it was November 17th. November 17th was Life Day. It's the anniversary. That's what day it was. Anyway. a day that everyone will remember and regret. But we have a fair amount of stuff to go through this week. We'll start with some Mercs news. Going with the holiday theme, the 2018 Mercs holiday ornament is in the store. Go ahead and grab one. They look pretty sweet.
Yep. There's also some other merch in there, too.
There is. There was always good merch in the store. And the store is open and ready for business and to take your beloved PayPal dollars. So please do buy all the things. They're great.
Yep.
All of the various teams work really hard on them. But
specifically. Specifically, we've got the auxiliary member patch in the store,
yes.
Which is a first. There's never been an auxiliary member patch before, so check it out. And then there's a trio of coins as well.
Yes.
And getting spun up for pre-order.
Sweet too.
And a Christmas ornament.
Yes. And the ornament.
And the ornament, yep.
Buy the ornament. It looks great. Like, I like it's the like sort of multicolored, like, and that's pretty sweet. Like the clear one from last year was pretty sweet too, but I like the.
Yeah, we switched up the quartermaster switched up the materials and whatnot, which should kind of keep things fresh. So
yeah, it's all like silvery and red and shiny.
I'm not sure what the base metal color actually is, if it's silver or gold, but
it looks,
either way, it looks
cool. Yeah, it's hard to tell with the photos that I've seen. But either way, silver, gold decorations, you know, Frosty the Snowman, it's all good.
Store says metal with red inlay, so don't know. Top of it. I think I want to say it's gold.
Yeah, it could be.
I'm sure it's a golden color with a red inlay.
The three coin set we have now, it's like three different variations of chess diamonds. Like there's a red one, a blue one, and a gold one. Yeah, so there's merch. Go buy merch. Every time that we say buy merch, please go buy merch. But moving onwards, MercsCon happened.
Yeah.
It was great.
Yeah, it was.
I will go again. legit, it was awesome. It was pretty much everything that I'd hoped it would be. And naturally some stuff that I could have never expected. Mm-hmm. Such as...
There were so many Belgians there.
There were a lot of Belgians there.
Way to go, like, Belgium!
Sal will have the numbers now that everybody's signed into the Did You Go to MercsCon thread, which if you haven't, it's probably too late, and I'm sorry. But in any case, things like eating pizza in a dark park.
Wow, way to sell it, Crow.
That was honestly, that was a lot of fun, and everybody had a great time despite the darkness. Everybody ate a lot of pizza. Hanging out on the beach, hanging out with the Belgians, who I think that's where I was going with the check-in thread. I think the Belgians probably had the largest contingent of any single clan there.
Quite possibly, yeah.
Maryland, Karimaru clan was probably a close second. I think they had like six or seven.
And they showed up in style.
And they did. Yeah, they showed up in full vacation gear, made a giant sand crab. Like,
yeah, Kimru had a really good showing. Yep.
I mean, I loved hanging out with everybody, but we hung around a fair amount with the Karimaru folks, and it was just a blast.
They were, they were all decked out in those new CRLs that we outlined on April
12th. Yes, yep.
They were compliant.
Yep.
It was nice.
It's the new, the soft part costumes, yeah.
They found the pattern of shirt specifically and ordered them special so that they would fit the CRLs to a T. It was just fantastic.
It's screen accurate.
Yeah, super screen accurate. The KTR live panel was great. This is a lot of fun. Again, I'm sorry that we weren't able to stream it live, but just hotel Wi-Fi, what you gonna do?
Yep.
I think we should always do the podcast where I get to be on a stage and no one else does.
I don't know if I liked that. You were like behind us.
You were looming behind us, yeah.
You were creeping.
I had fun. It was great.
Sure you did, you creeper.
I was scared. Creeper gonna creep. we got to meet some folks from England as well, and there was one Australian there.
Yep, we had one Australian who I believe at the time was a prospective member or Vertica. I apologize if I forget the details, but yeah, she definitely had the furthest distance traveled for sure.
Best dedication,
And solo, no less than that. Like the Belgians came in force, but there were quite a few of them.
They're an auxiliary member.
An auxiliary member. There we go. Excellent. Thank you. But yeah, no, it was great to see everybody from everywhere. Like there were a bunch of folks from California, a bunch of folks from Canada, Minnesota.
God, I hope so.
Yeah, several parts of Canada, no less.
Yeah, yeah, not just you, like
yeah.
Like it was honestly a great time. And I will say, everybody's probably seen the rumors that it's going to be Vegas 2020. That is still yet to be decided. I wouldn't mind. I'll honestly go wherever it is. Like it was totally worth it, and I will definitely go whether it's Vegas or Toronto or Chicago, Florida again, whatever. I'll go again. It was awesome. It was just a fantastic time. It was a lot of fun. Hanging out on a beach for 4 days was great.
Yeah, there were a lot of little things that were novel about that to me, because I've been to Florida a few times, but I've never been to coastal Florida, and I'm not, so I grew up on the ocean, but I'm not used to the ocean not being cold.
It's true.
Yeah, that was really cool.
Yeah. It was
going
weird.
For a swim every day.
Yeah.
In the ocean in November and it being warm.
Yeah, what is the, let me see. See, I gotta see what the temperature of the sea here in Maine is right now.
Getting all scientific.
Well, while you check that, I just want to say from the council perspective, we really appreciate everyone that did, put a little faith in the club and being able to manage to run MercsCon, because it was a big endeavor. There are a lot of moving parts, a lot of unknowns, a lot of variables, and it's tricky to get a first year thing going. So we appreciate everybody that did attend. You know, Crow and Art are obviously included, and everybody else that's listening or that may not be listening but still did attend. You know. We're definitely looking forward to the next one, wherever it may end up being.
There we go. So,
get those ocean temps yet?
No, I'm just doing the conversion because inevitably you're going to ask. Right now, the average usual temperature for Maine this time of year in the Atlantic Ocean up here is 41 degrees Fahrenheit, which is only Three? It's five. Yeah. So it's 5 degrees Celsius. So that, yeah,
warmer
it's,
than the air.
It's 9 degrees above freezing in Fahrenheit.
yeah. Five above in Celsius, which is easy to calculate.
So it's like, I mean, granted, the air is 20 degrees up here on average during the day. So it is
right.
cooler above the water than it is mm-hmm. in the water. But still, like, that water, were it fresh, would be quite close to freezing.
yeah.
And that's November up here. Like, even in the summer, I believe it hits, like, maybe 60, which is, you know, nice and refreshing on a hot day, but still cold compared to Florida.
yeah. Apparently, Florida's sea temperature is supposed to be, like, 70 Fahrenheit or 21
like
Celsius.
Right now?
Around that time,
yeah.
in November-ish, yeah, which is
would not fair. Our version of the polar bear plunge, the water's 68 degrees.
That does not count.
that doesn't count. You want to do a polar bear plunge, come up where I'm at, and then we'll take a plane north, we'll go visit the polar bears and do a polar bear plunge.
No, polar bears. That's how you get eaten.
But yeah, no, MerxCon was fantastic. Wherever it happens to be, I will be there, barring tragedy or national disaster. So everything will be, it'll be great wherever it is in 2020. Cause I believe we are gunning for 2020. We are going to try and do it on non-celebration years. So everybody has a chance to, you know, use their vacation time as appropriate. You don't have to choose between going to MerxCon or going to Celebration. Like, we wouldn't do that to you.
Makes sense.
Also, just less work. Like, everybody who's ever been involved in planning, either for MerxCon or a big Celebration or DragonCon, it's just a pain lurching from one to the next, trying to do them back-to-back. It just doesn't work.
Yeah.
But in other Mercs news, reminder from the app team, they do go on a bit of a holiday break over the around Christmas and New Year's. They take a couple weeks off.
Yeah, I believe this is the first time they're doing it officially for everybody to get a break. So in years past, I think they just rotated out some people.
Yeah, sort of slowed down.
So this is a bit of a change.
Yeah.
But they need it, definitely.
Your Ruzalors, your regional Ruzal Council, like, they're still there for you. They'll still help you get fixed lists and review your pre-app. They're definitely still a resource for you. And on that note, definitely use those resources. If you think you're ready enough to jump right into your application without consulting your Ruzalore or the Ruzol or any of the other resources that we will happily provide for you, your chances of getting kicked back are so high. I understand. I had to apply, I believe, 3 times to get official back when I started, when our rules were a lot looser. And it's best to just wait, just go through the proper steps, get the help that we all want to give you. And that way you can apply first time, get right in, get your kill stripes on your forum profile, and live the life we all want to live. Yeah.
Get to trooping.
And just in general, other teams, everybody's doing holiday stuff. Like, a lot of people have kids home for school break. Everybody's kind of busy. So if you have a little bit of a delay with, you know, communication to the various teams, that's why. It's not that we don't like you. We do. We do like you. Yep.
Everybody's a volunteer.
I think that might be it for Merc's news. Was there anything else?
We've also, for official members, or especially clan officers, the standard clan constitution is currently in review. so you can take a look at that over in the official member discussion area. There'll be a link for view, or it'll be visible to view. And then in the clan roundtable for the officers, there's an actual discussion portion of that. You guys to give your feedbacks.
Which we want.
Feedbacks?
Yes.
Multiple feedback.
There have also been a couple of rounds of voting for various things, mostly for clan officers. But again, clan officers, keep an eye out for those. Participate when you can. Every vote or bit of feedback helps and is taken into consideration. Because this is your club. Like, we help run it and everything. But this club's for everybody here, and we want to know what's working and what isn't working, and we want to fix what isn't working.
And on that note, actually, as Mandler does in previous years, he will once again be posting somewhere. I'm not quite sure quite where he's going to put it yet. But every year he likes to open things up for anyone to give feedback on how things are going just in general, whether it's specifically with a particular council position, job related thing, or just a general comment about stuff. But he should have that info up probably in the announcements relatively shortly, or it might just be an official member discussion. I'm not quite sure where he's going to put it, but he is open to people just dropping him a line via PM at any point in time in the year if they've got a concern or a comment or a suggestion of any sort. So just keep that in mind as well. Now I think we're good for Star Wars news.
Yeah. All right. So in Star Wars news, the big breaking thing, I suppose, is the Mandalorian.
Yep.
The TV show. Lucasfilm has officially announced that all of the strong rumors that we've heard about the cast are true. Pedro Pascal is going to be the Mandalorian of the title.
Hispanic Burt Reynolds himself.
Indeed. We are going to have Gina Carano.
Yep.
The awesome hench lady from Deadpool, Nick Nolte. You know, everybody's seen Nick Nolte in something. Emily Swallow, Werner Herzog, of all people.
Yeah.
But the one that, like, the two that I am most surprised and thrilled about, first is Giancarlo Esposito.
Yeah.
Everybody, Gus Fring from Breaking Bad and Better Call Saul. He was also on Once Upon a Time, so he's no stranger to the Disney company. Mm. Like, he's just awesome. I can't wait to see what they do with him. Like, because he can do pretty much anything.
Considering how his character was turned into this massive character in Breaking Bad, and it originally wasn't meant to be that way, in fact, I can't wait to see what sort of influence he has on The Mandalorian. Because I'm not sure if everyone knows, but his character was not actually intended to have this whole elaborate backstory and be so critical in the story of Breaking Bad. But due to the way that he went about things, he was able to make it get that extra.
Yep.
yeah.
extra piece. But yeah, no, his yeah. performance was just great.
That's the one piece of Mandalorian news that I've been most excited about, I think. Cause he just generally seems like a really, really good guy too. Like I'm so excited to see what role he plays in this series.
And like he could be like a funny sidekick, he could be a villain, he could just be, you know, a smuggler, whatever. Like he's very well rounded, and I'm not gonna be disappointed in anything that he does. And the second one that I am perhaps a little more irrationally happy about, Carl Weathers is coming back, and he is gonna be on The Mandalorian in some fashion.
That'll be great.
Yes. I'm trying to remember like some of the stuff he's done recently. Like obviously he was big in Predator and
Rocky.
He was Apollo Creed. Let's see. He's been in a bunch of Adam Sandler movies. Like he was Chubbs and Happy Gilmore. He played a weird fictional version of himself on Arrested Development. It was just like Carl Weathers, but like hammed up and incredibly cheap. Like the kind of guy who does a motivational speech at a hotel and still steals all of the shampoo.
He was on Colony, which was a TV alien invasion something or other.
I never saw that.
If I recall correctly.
It was good, but I never saw it.
It had three seasons. And then he was also in, there's a, like a paramedic, or like a fire department, police department, and a, like a justice system all based in Chicago. Apparently he was in all three of those for a little while as well.
I can only imagine he's going to be a bad guy. But again, he's another character. I don't care. Like he's Carl Weathers. You put him anywhere, I'm going to enjoy myself.
Yeah.
He's just gonna be Lando's dad.
I mean, like, honestly though, like, what if? What if he is Lando's dad?
No, that's what I was thinking.
But like,
that's,
like,
well, we're going backwards on the timeline there.
Yeah, sure. But like, yeah, like
the universe just keeps getting smaller.
Yeah, no, I'm excited. I'm happy to see Carl Weathers in this, and I'm excited for the Mandalorian in general because it's that fringe side of Star Wars that we've all wanted and all enjoyed for years. Like, it's just like, what if the cantina scene, but for a 12 episode series.
I'm really hoping actually that none of them are related to any like main titular Star Wars characters, and we get a fresh look at the Star Wars universe, just like a completely different location.
Yeah, legitimately, honestly, I think that's how it is.
Hopefully.
Listen, aren't they on Tatooine?
I think for part of it, they're definitely like a lot of the production stills we've seen. It's definitely some kind of dusty, sandy place. But apparently, as we all know, Star Wars is full of just dust ball planets.
Could be Jakku, could be Tatooine, could be somewhere else entirely.
Geonosis.
Yeah, we're up to 9. Yeah. Getting on 9 core movies, and up to 12 full movies, and there's been 4 sand planets minimum.
There's Taika Waititi to direct Star Wars TV series. Along with Bryce Dallas Howard.
And I think what they're doing is I think that's multiple directors are just roping someone in to do an episode. But again, like, yeah, Taika Waititi from Thor Ragnarok, like Also, Thor Ragnarok was definitely, I like the Thor movies a lot. That movie was just so good, just so funny.
It's hard to mess up putting Jeff Goldblum in a film and then having him act like Jeff Goldblum.
It's true.
Yeah, but it wasn't Jeff Goldblum the movie. Like,
no.
There were other things that happened.
There were other things that happened, but Jeff Goldblum was Jeff Goldblum in that film.
Frost is so excited about Jeff Goldblum that his internet can't even handle it.
I am so excited about Jeff Goldblum, you don't even know.
He's got that photo from Jurassic Park on his desk.
I actually have it as a poster over my bed, thank you, on the ceiling.
That was my computer wallpaper for a good while on my Chromecast. Like, just turn on there the TV was, and there he is.
Was he at the very least shirtless, breathing heavily?
No, not breathe. It wasn't a gif or anything, but yeah, no, it's the scene from Jurassic Park where he's like on the table and realizing just how like gone to crap everything is. Just that shot, just like. But yeah,
we have a couple other pieces of news.
We do have a couple other pieces, just like Jeff Goldblum did, in fact, have a couple other pieces of clothes in Jurassic Park.
Good segue.
Tim Zahn's back again with another Thrawn book, which Eric and I are both super excited about. This time it's Thrawn Treason.
I'm looking forward to that.
Like, I'm interested because they're actually sort of starting to catch up with the Star Wars story.
Yeah.
Because the first book sort of introed Thrawn back into the universe. Yep. The second book was what Thrawn and Vader do after Thrawn's appearance on Rebels.
Yeah, nice tie-ins.
And now we're sort of in that weird phase where we're actually starting to catch up with where the original Thrawn trilogy was. Like, the Emperor is still a thing and everything, but I'm just really interested to see what they do with Thrawn in getting into this time period. Because originally the big thing with Thrawn back in the old canon was that he just literally came up out of nowhere and just kicked the New Republic in the butt and was like, nah, the Empire's back. Also, I have all these clones and ships. What you gonna do?
And also a crazy Jedi guy.
Yeah. Like, look at all this Clone Wars stuff that I found and brought back.
And Force Lizards.
And Force Lizards.
Yslamiri. Anti-Force Lizards.
It'll be interesting to see if they bring those back or not.
Yeah, like they've really held off on them because they did kind of in the EU just sort of become sort of a trump card.
Yeah,
a plot problem.
Yeah, and it's like, oh, well, if we just hang these everywhere, Jedi are useless. Like, actually, like in the Thrawn trilogy, they
name is Cal Katarn.
Well, yeah. Well, he's another special case that I kind of hope they bring back, really. A lot of the Dark Forces stuff I want to see come back. They brought back some, but not him. But, like, yeah, I think in the Thrawn trilogy, Thrawn actually at one point just has a backpack rig made so he can just wear a... I could never pronounce it. Is it Ysalamar? Ysalamiri. So he could just, like, wear one walking around when he knew that Luke was going to show up.
Seems legit. If they exist, I would.
It's like, huh.
In 91, it was a great idea.
Oh, yeah. And it sure was. And it was, like, honestly, some of the first Star Wars stuff that was like, you know how Jedi are OP? What if they weren't?
Carry this pet lizard on my back. Deal with Jedi. Carry this lizard.
Do what you
deal
got.
With Jedi. Hmm.
Well, it also added yet another thing into the... Okay, so going back to being mad about how things used to be way back in my day, that used to be the cornerstone of everybody's fan fiction is, oh, and by the way, I have a pet Ysalamiri named Gus. Like...
Yeah, yeah. These things that only grow on one planet that it took galactic civilization 800,000 years to find.
Yeah, I just happen to have one. He's named Gus.
Yep.
Yeah. Thank you, Canon Nuke. Thank you. You did help so much.
There really were just some things that needed to die, guys.
Yeah.
Dash Rendar.
I kind of miss Dash, but yeah, he wasn't really the hype.
He was low rent on Solo.
Well, yeah, that's literally what he was.
Cheap on Solo.
He was just like. Like, yeah, Han Solo can't be in this book. We need someone else.
Budget Han Solo. Well, it wasn't even in this book. It was in this video game.
Yeah.
Family Dollar Han Solo.
Oh, man. But yeah, like, I'm waiting to see. The big thing, like, I'm very happy that Timothy Zahn is still writing these and is their go-to guy for anything Thrawn related. But I do wonder when they're going to let him bring back Mara Jade. But that said, her character would have to be completely different at this point. Basically wouldn't be Mara Jade at all.
I think they missed that opportunity in the last movie.
Probably, yeah. Though they're bringing back Lando. I mean...
Yeah, but if Kylo Ren had killed her and then Luke disappeared, that actually would have made more sense.
Yeah.
Like, you missed your opportunity.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Cest Levi.
Yep.
Oh, well.
But another interesting aspects of Star Wars, we've got another piece of info that's kind of cool.
About that Lando's coming back? I know we've talked about that, like, the past three episodes, but I'm still real happy about it.
Well, yes, that's awesome, too, but... no, the Star Wars comic about Qui-Gon Jinn.
Oh, yeah, I haven't read that. But yeah, just like, what if Qui-Gon didn't die, and Obi-Wan didn't have to try and teach that snotty little, you know...
You get that situation where Qui-Gon's like, nah, forget it, we're just gonna kill him.
Yeah, so no, quite the opposite actually. The comic kind of goes into Qui-Gon kind of better understanding the dark side and the light side and the balance between the two. And apparently, had Darth Maul not killed him, things would have gone a whole lot differently. Insofar as how the Jedi, you know, continued to be the arbiters of peace and more or less at the beck and call of the Republic, as opposed to. You know, actually focusing on keeping the balance. But I'll try not. Well, we'll leave it there so we don't give away too much.
Whatever. This sounds like that one AU that they published one time with, I think Dark Horse was one who did it, where Luke died in childbirth or something, and so only Leia was born. Oh, no, wait. Luke died from his injuries from the Wampa Ice Cave, so Leia had to go train with Yoda. And eventually she redeems Darth Vader, and Darth Vader shows up wearing white armor.
Oh, I remember that. I remember the white armor and Leia having to train with Yoda.
So,
which I mean, we're all in agreement though that Leia has always been far more BA than Luke. Like, no question there.
I mean, I feel like that's not even something that needs stating.
No, not really, but I did. Like, if anyone could have done it, it would have been Leia.
Or apparently Qui-Gon Jinn.
Or Qui-Gon Jinn. Though, I mean, I always... Qui-Gon was always one of my... in the old EU, he was always one of my top-tier Jedi.
Yeah.
Because he was, like, all in all of the old EU, and they've mostly preserved it, that he was just sort of like, rules or guidelines. Like, yeah, but I won't kill anyone if they don't need it. But like, yeah, the whole light side, dark side is more of a spectrum instead of just, you know, black and white. Like someone who actually saw the whole shades of gray thing, which is important with someone who holds a very large amount of power and is a space wizard. Would have been responsible for training Darth Vader.
Yeah.
Also, I think someone who's just a little bit more perceptive and probably would have noticed, man, he's hanging around with Padme a lot. That's weird, right?
Well, I think part of that is also supposed to be the fact that, all right, we're about to do some psychology on Star Wars here, kids. I've been gone. Now I'm back. part of that is also the fact that Obi-Wan and Anakin were so close. Like, where they... Obi-Wan treated Anakin as a brother. Right. Whereas a baby brother, but still a brother. Whereas Qui-Gon, who was a good 25 years older than Obi-Wan, would have most certainly treated Anakin as a child, which would have resulted in a very different relationship between the two of them. But part of that also may come to Obi-Wan being a little bit blind, despite him being the greatest Jedi in history. He may have trusted too much in Anakin to be honest, essentially. Where he knows he understands Anakin well enough to the point where Anakin should tell him whatever, because all he does is give him some good-natured British ribbing. but Anakin didn't tell him this, and I think that truly is what blindsided him, was his expectation that Anakin would trust him.
But yeah, like, it's actually... To your point, they actually addressed that in The Last Jedi, that Rey says, but the Jedi were great, and they were awesome. And Luke says, it's like, yeah, but like at the height of their power, they let Darth Sidious happen. So
they weren't that great, clearly.
Yeah. Might have think that, yeah, if he hadn't have gotten stabbed in the gut, better things might have happened.
Yeah.
Well, and let's be real here. Part of this falls on the fact that Mace Windu wasn't allowed to just go and beat people up.
Yeah, that's true. Like, wanted to.
Yeah, there's certain...
He really did.
Yeah, well, like, I mean, that was part of the backstory. I don't know if that's still canon or not. That they were originally going to send Mace Windu to go and solve the trade negotiations on Naboo. Except by solve, we meant that Mace Windu was going to go in and just beat people up until they, like, stopped the blockade. Which, while that would have been a ham-fisted situation, it means they never would have ended up on Tatooine. It would have just been Mace Windu wrecking droids. So Anakin and Shmi would just still be Watto's slaves, you know?
Yeah. It would have worked. It would have worked, too.
And we would never have learned of the tragedy of Darth Plagueis the Wise.
That would be the real tragedy if we didn't learn about that tragedy.
Still kind of bummed that they didn't write that book. I mean, it would have been made non-canon about 20 minutes after they made it anyway, but there was going to be a Darth Plagueis book, like, I think around, like, 2012, something like that. But yeah, it just got canned. Because they're like, no, don't try and explain this anymore. just ignore it. Just let it happen. It was probably
you know they did come out with a Darth Plagueis book, right?
No, they didn't.
Yes, they did.
They didn't.
They did.
No, they didn't. Yeah, no, they did. But
that's why they now have a name for what's his face? Palps.
No, that came out in the Tarkin book. That was from the Tarkin book in the new canon. Yeah.
Oh, whatever.
Which is still stupid.
Sheev is such a weird name.
It really is. Like, granted, like he's supposed to be from Naboo, and a lot of the names for people on Naboo aren't great. Like, it was definitely a guy just called C.O. Bibble.
Padme.
But. C.O. Bibble. Star Wars. So, like, clearly the planet does not know how to name people. But, like, Sheev? No.
They weren't even trying.
No, they really weren't. The rest of the Tarkin book was actually really good, except for that.
It's really funny.
What else were they going to call him? Bob?
No, just Senator.
Phil.
Emperor. Like,
yes, he was born with the name Senator.
Welcome, Senator Mister, Palpatine.
Like, his first name is Mister.
Mister. He was born for this job.
Yeah. No, Senator Mr. Palpatine.
Mr. Peanut Butter.
almost anything, but I'm okay almost with anything Chief. But Sheev.
Gary.
Like Gary. Gary Palpatine would have been so James. Much better.
James Palpatine.
See, James now Palpatine's I'm just great. But now I'm just thinking of when you said Gary, I'm thinking just of Gary Palpatine, Oldman maybe. Playing Palpatine.
Even better.
It just keeps getting better.
Gary Oldman as anybody, like, sign me up. But
oh yeah, but now Gary Oldman as Palpatine is stuck in my head, and I can't get the thought out.
Dear Star Gary Wars, Palpatine. Please, oh please, Gary, bring Gary Oldman. Like, if we ever lose Ian McDiarmid, bring in Gary Oldman.
Mm-hmm. Now. If we're just going to start putting awesome actors in, who do we have Jeff Goldblum?
This is an important question.
That is a good. That is a. I asked that is a question. Good question.
Yoda.
Jar Jar.
No, neither of those things. No.
Those are polar opposite.
Neither of those things. Hold on. No. I've got a good one.
C.O. Bibble.
Queen Padme, they blockaded the planet, and it's awful. People are dying.
Porkins.
I'm gonna watch it.
Oh, Porkins would be
oh my god. Biggs Darklighter, the final years. It turns out that Biggs Darklighter did not in fact die at the Battle of Yavin, but instead faked his own death so that way he could wear capes elsewhere. And now, living in Coruscant, wearing yet another cape, he is played by Jeff Goldblum.
I can't shake him.
No, I really just can't. I can't shake him.
I can't shake him. Must go faster. Yeah, no, I'm happy with Jeff Goldblum as Biggs Darklighter. Like, those scenes, like the cut footage with like Biggs and Luke just, you know, chatting on Tatooine, you know, like palling around. Man. Those would not have been cut.
No, nope, that's actually true. He would have provided the necessary amount of appeal.
What if he was just cast as everybody?
Oh my god. Jeff Goldblum as Han Solo, Jeff Goldblum as Chewbacca. Rar.
Rar, I guess.
Aren't you a little short for a stormtrooper?
That's not how
you're
the
Force part of the Rebel Alliance and a traitor. Yeah, a traitor. Take him away.
Yes.
I think we're onto something here.
Into the garbage chute,
Everything's fine
no,
here.
It's literally everybody in the entire film is Jeff Goldblum, except Darth Vader, who is Bill Shatner.
All right, yeah. No, that's... I find that acceptable.
Yeah, watch it.
You are part of the Rebel Alliance and a traitor. Take her away.
Just away. Just, like, it would just be like the shoe hands. It wouldn't be the big grand gesture. It would just be like, get, go on. Go on, shoe.
Go on, get.
I do.
We grant you a seat on the council.
Sit.
Not sit, the title Skywalker. Of master.
No.
I think we have succeeded. Oh. I think we have proved our point that Jeff Goldblum should be everyone in Star Wars.
Yes. Yes, I think he should.
I wouldn't be surprised if they use him soon. I mean,
yeah.
Him and Thor Ragnarok.
And like lately.
Yeah, he's officially in the Disney stable.
I want to see.
Be like those things where they put Nicolas Cage in everything.
You heard it here first, folks. Jeff Goldblum will be in Star Wars.
I bet. I honestly bet he would. Like, I think if it were offered to him,
mm-hmm.
if it were offered to him, I bet he would be in Star Wars in a heartbeat.
Well, Buckaroo Banzai. Yeah.
Right. Just for.
So who here still plays Star Wars like the Old Republic?
The RPG? They're not the MMO? No.
Yeah, the MMO.
Wait, that still exists?
Nope. Not only does it still exist, it actually just got a brand new expansion.
Now, the thing to note here is that is still the only, you know, pre-canon nuke Star Wars property that is still in production.
Yeah. As of yesterday, for this recording. So the 11th of December, it was their 7-year anniversary.
Oh, wow.
Well, congratulations to them.
7 years. Yeah, no, honestly, congrats. 7 years for an MMO is no small feat. But it is 7 years of really, really weird storytelling.
I thought quite a lot of the storyline was very enjoyable. I know definitely a lot of people still play the game too, from what I hear.
Oh, yeah. It really wasn't my cup of tea. Like I was expecting just KOTOR, the MMO, and that's not necessarily what I got. But you know, no one told me that it was going to be KOTOR the MMO, so you know,
mm-hmm.
didn't break any promises.
Huh. All right.
Also, more KOTOR. Just give me that. Except not you, EA. I see what you're doing with the KOTOR characters that are in Galaxy of Heroes, and stop it.
How about I see you, EA, full stop.
For those of you who do not understand my anger, they did bring Revan into Galaxy of Heroes as the super awesome character, pretty much a game-winning character. Well, Darth Nihilus is, you know, in there, but like they finally brought Revan in. But in order to get Darth Revan, you had to have unlocked in the span of about 2 months, 5 KOTOR characters. Like, I think you had to get Bastila, Jolie Bindo, Zalbar, and Mission Veo, and T3-M4. All of which who had been released over the span of about 2 months. You had to get all of them fully geared and to full star rating, whatever, mm-hmm. which means you had to basically spend $60 on each of them, realistically.
Wow.
And then you could have the privilege of getting Revan. Like, no, that's, no. That is just rude.
Everyone knows EA is evil.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, like, upside, it was a very clear money grub right from the start. So there was really no mystery that it was happening. It's not like, you know, you already got halfway there and then you hit a paywall. Like, the paywall was right up front. So you could very much refuse to do it, like most of their player base did. And this is definitely it's a free-to-play game that you can pay money for. It's just a classic mobile game model. But like, come on, guys. No one in their right mind should be dropping $180 on a phone game.
And yet people do.
Oh yeah, no, people did. I've seen them in the I've seen him pop up here and there in the PvP section, and it's just sickening.
And on that note,
Ubisoft, please come back to Star Wars. Please make me more games.
I really hope they kind of open it back up to more different games.
Well, last we heard...
A little friendly competition.
Yeah, and last we heard that is what they were doing, and I think that's a great decision. Friendly competition is a fantastic way to put it. Yeah, because as EA has proven, if you got a corner on the market, why care? Like, we got their money, what are they going to do? But I think that's about all we have on this month's edition of Keldobby Talk Radio. All right. Happy holidays. Thank you for listening. We will come back next month. Hopefully we'll have a special guest. I do believe Raiden from the Brigade team will be our guest in January at some point.
Sweet.
So tune in for that.
Yeah. And
Happy New Year. Merry Christmas. Happy Life Day. Happy belated Hanukkah, happy Kwanzaa, whatever you got, have a great time.
Happy Christmas, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, Don.
Yes. Bye.
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 This has been a production of the Mandalorian Mercs Costuming Club. To learn more about the topics discussed on this episode, please visit us at www.mandalorianmercs.org. The Mandalorian Mercs is a worldwide Star Wars costuming organization comprised of and operated by Star Wars fans. Star Wars, its characters, costumes, and all associated media are intellectual property of Lucasfilm and Disney. We hope you enjoyed the show and welcome your feedback. Visit our Facebook page or email us at podcast@mandalorianmercs.com.